This is session number 7 of the Gospel according to John. We come to John chapter 1 and verse 14. This may be the biggest turning point in the history of mankind, what we're about to read. This is really what changes the game, so to speak. Everything's going to change from this point forward. And all of our calendars are marked by this event. And by the grace of God, we're going to delve into this great mystery of godliness. John 1 verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." I'm going to read it again. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Father, help us as we look into this great mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. Amen. The Word was made flesh. The Word. Remember, the Word is the one that was back in the beginning. The Word was with God. The Word was God. By him, all things were made that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. And without him was not anything made that was made. And in him is life. And that life is the light of men. And this word was made flesh. This is so powerful. This is so significant. There's so much to this. So just praying that we can bring forth some of these things. We're not going to be able to fully exhaust all of this, but by the grace of God, hopefully we can get a deeper appreciation and love for our great God and what he has done for us. The Word was made flesh. What a mystery. I think of how it was prophesied, how God told Isaiah. He said, "Therefore, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." I think of the great prophecy that God gave to Isaiah, where he said, "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel. When the angel appeared to Joseph, he said that all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God with us, the virgin conceived. What a miracle. What a mystery. How did this happen? Well, when the angel appeared to Mary, he said, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then Mary said unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." The Word was made flesh. This man-child that was born, this Son of God, he was not the seed of sinful flesh. He was not the seed of man. He was the seed of God himself. This is the great mystery of God and man being united in one. Now we're going to see why this is so important. Why was God manifest in the flesh? Why did the Word become flesh? This is huge. But this is literally what happened. So a female has an egg. It's a real egg. But God puts his seed in that egg. The Holy Ghost conceives in that egg. And you have God's DNA coming together with this woman's DNA. And the Word was made flesh, the God-man. Emmanuel, God with us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This is astounding. When the angel appeared a few months later to Joseph, Joseph was thinking about putting Mary away because she was found pregnant. She was found with child. They hadn't come together yet. So he's looking at putting her away. And then the angel appears to him in a dream and says, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God himself, the most powerful Spirit, the most Holy Spirit that exists inside and outside of the universe. That's what conceived in the womb of Mary. The Word was made flesh. And he goes on and he says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus. What is Jesus? It's the salvation of Jehovah. Jehovah is salvation. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Why was the Word made flesh? There's so many reasons why the Word was made flesh, but at the core purpose of why the Word was made flesh was so that he could save sinful flesh. So that he could save sinful flesh. There's so many aspects of this, and we're not going to look at it all in this session. We're going to save the aspect of the sacrifice for sins and the taking away of sin for later in this chapter when John will declare him the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. We're going to look at it at that time. But I want to look at it in a more simplistic sense right now. Because in this verse he says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us and we beheld his glory. The glories of the only begotten of the Father. And then he's going to go on to say how of his fullness have all we received. And then he's going to talk about how the only begotten Son has declared the Father. See, at its core, I know if we get down to the technicalities, the Word had to be made flesh so that he could die for our sins. We're going to look at that. It's very true. Paul declares that in Hebrews chapter 2. But at its core, the Word was made flesh so that God and man could finally be reunited in one. That's why the Word was made flesh at its very core. You see, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The heaven and the earth were to be married together. They were to be joined together. Earth was not supposed to be at war with heaven. And there was not supposed to be a war within heaven against heaven, creating multiple heavens, which is what ended up happening. No, heaven and earth was supposed to be joined as one. And God, who is the Spirit that rules heaven, created man on the earth to be the image and likeness of God, ruling the earth under the direction and wisdom and guidance of God from heaven. Man and God walked in fellowship in the garden. But all this was lost because of sin. All this was lost because of the transgression of the commandment of God, because of the belief of the lie of the devil, the departing from the truth, the departing from the faith. All of this was lost, and earth became at war with heaven, and man became bound in his iniquities and his sin, and was headed for sure and certain death. See, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. What's death? It's the end. God's not going to let sin go on forever, so he puts an end to sin. How does he end sin? He kills, destroys the one or the ones, the people who have given place to sin. Now we're going to further explore how Christ came to take away sin and to destroy sin. It's huge, it's important, it's vital. But I don't want to get into the depths of that right now. What I want us to just understand in a basic sense is God and man were once one, and that thing had been broken because of sin. And so now God, who is eternal life, is so far separated from man that man is headed for doom. And man is trapped. He's trapped within himself. He's trapped within the flesh. He's trapped on this earth. Man cannot bridge the gap. Man cannot ascend into heaven. He cannot burst out of his flesh and rejoin himself to the living God. And God, as a spirit, can't really join himself to man because he's holy and he's pure and he's righteous. There needs to be a mediator to bring the two back together. But you can't really have a mediator unless he understands both parties. A mediator really can't mediate unless he can represent both sides and understand both sides and bring those two back together. And so that's why Job declared that there's no daysman betwixt us. There's no one to come between us. You know, I'm man on earth and I suffer these things and I face these things and this evil's come upon me. But God's in heaven. He's so far above all this. He's so removed from all this. He can't really feel this. How can we be brought back together? And they really couldn't be. Now God appeared and he could put Job in his place and remind Job who he was and remind God of who he is. And absolutely, and it works repentance. And it's a good thing. But man needed something more than repentance. Man needed salvation. Salvation. Not just salvation from penalties and consequences, but a real salvation that breaks the chains and breaks the bonds and can break us free from this bondage of the flesh and free from this bondage of sin and free from this domain of earth that we're trapped in, where these two can finally be reunited as one. And just like Jesus taught his disciples to pray, that we could pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That earth and heaven could be rejoined. And so the Word was made flesh. The Word. Because the Word is God. And flesh is man. And so you have God's DNA joining with that woman's DNA and creating the God-man, Emmanuel, God with us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And now God and man are perfectly joined together in this one single body, the Word made flesh. But the great news is that he's not going to just keep this wonderful glory and this wonderful righteousness and purity and all these things that he has because he's come from heaven. All the riches of God. I mean, all the riches of God are in the Word. The riches of purity and holiness and righteousness and truth and justice and judgment and joy and love and peace and gentleness and faith and faithfulness. All the riches that are in Him. And now it's dwelling in flesh. And He didn't come just so everybody could look at Him and go, wow, there He is. He's the greatest. But He came so that His flesh could be broken, so that we could finally enter in and be joined to the Word. Through His flesh being broken, we'd be able to enter in to the flesh, enter in to the body of Christ, and be joined with the Word, be joined with the Father. See, man who was trapped in sin because of his flesh and headed for sure death with no hope can now be joined to eternal life itself. Remember, in the Word is life, and that life is the light of men. Life was made flesh. Eternal life. This is deep and it's powerful. And there's so many things that we have to really consider about this. But I'm going to give you this simple scripture to understand why the Word was made flesh. He came to rejoin God and man, to bring us back into that union and that harmony that God originally designed. He came to save us. Salvation, His name was called Jesus, the salvation of Jehovah. Because we could not save ourselves, we could not ascend. In Isaiah 59, verse 11 through 15, he talks about there's no salvation, it's far off from us. And he talks about our transgressions are multiplied and our sins testify against us. Our transgressions are with us and our iniquities, we know them. And he talks about God's nation, the greatest nation that ever existed on planet Earth, and how that nation was just filled with transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing from God and speaking oppression and revolt and conceiving and uttering from the hearts words of falsehood. And judgment was turned away backward, and justice stand afar off, and truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. And he says, truth faileth. And you know what? It says the Lord saw it and it displeased him that there was no judgment. He saw there's no hope. There's none righteous. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become filthy. They're all together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The bond has been broken. And who can restore it? Man can't do it. But see, here's the problem. God, as a spirit, He can't restore the bond either. He can't bring the parties back together just as a spirit in heaven. He can't do it. The two parties are at enmity. There has to be one who can represent both sides. One who's not compromised and defiled like flesh. One who's pure and holy like God. One who's righteous and true and faithful to the end. But there has to be one who partakes of the flesh with us, who partakes of our sufferings and partakes of our travails and partakes of our weaknesses and our infirmities. One who can enter into our realm and experience what we experience, but have a greater strength than all of us put together and can break those bonds that we can't break and can rejoin the two. There had to be one. The Word had to be made flesh and dwell among us. And here's what he says in Isaiah 59, verse 16. And he saw that there was no man, and he wondered that there was no intercessor. He's talking about a mediator. There's no one to stand between. There's no great high priest that could be taken from the men and bring us back to God. There's none. So what's he going to do? It says, therefore, his arm, this is God's arm, his arm. What did God do? God had to reach down out of heaven. He had to reach down with his arm, and his arm had to be made flesh. Jesus Christ is the arm of God. He's the holy arm in the book of Isaiah, and his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. The Word was made flesh to save sinful flesh. We can't save ourselves. We can't escape. We can't do it. And so the Word was made flesh so that he could bring this salvation to our level. See, it's not so high in heaven that we can't reach it, but he came all the way out of heaven down to earth, right where we are, right into the dust, right into the flesh, right into all these things, and he brought this right to us. Amen? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.